This is Cross Hope, a daily word of hope and inspiration with Randy Snyder, Senior Minister of Crossview Christian Church. Now, with today's message from Cross Hope, here's Randy Snyder.
Who are the people that have been written out of your movie? The story of your life, because not of something they did, but because of something they said. Think about that for a minute. Who is not in the story, your movie, your plot line for your life? You've written them off because of something they said to you 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago. They didn't do anything to you, but they said something to you that you will never forget. Words have power in a way that the average person doesn't understand. Words have power in a way that the average Christian person doesn't understand. Words have power in your life, and I mentioned this in the two messages on anger, that we have total recall in remembering the things that people have said to us, but we have total amnesia when it comes to remembering the things that we have said. How many of you have said, "I never said that to her"? But you did. I never said that to him, but you did. And I've done the same thing. We forget what we've said. And today we're going to talk about words in a way that you've never perhaps heard anyone talk about before. Our tongues betray us. Your tongue is the tattletale for your heart. Your tongue is the reflection of your heart. Your tongue, according to Jesus himself, simply reflects what's inside you called your heart. And today we're preaching through the book of James, as we have been for a number of weeks. We're in the third chapter where James talks about the tongue, and he uses one particular verse that, in my opinion, is the most graphic verse in all of the New Testament in terms of the way it's written. And I'll repeat it. I'll share it twice because it's such a powerful verse. It's in the third chapter of James. We left off at the end of chapter 2. We're in chapter 3, beginning at 3:3. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boast. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. Now listen to verse 6 twice. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. Listen to that again. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man. But no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. I want to talk to you about your speech today in a way that you have never heard. Some of you will hear some things today that I honestly think that you've never heard before about the power of speech to hurt, curse, to condemn, and the power of speech to bless. And I want you to realize this, that you have tremendous power to bless people with the way you speak, and you have tremendous power to hurt people with the way you speak. And the choice today is this, to be a blessing or to be a curse.
Well, this is a powerful message, I think, from the book of James on the tongue and the way we speak. The way we speak reflects what's inside our hearts. It continues tomorrow on Cross Hope.
Morgan Blake used to be a sports writer years ago for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, a paper that I read for 6 years, but he wrote this, great writer. I am more deadly, he says, than the screaming shell from a howitzer. I win without killing. I tear down homes. I break hearts. I wreck lives. I travel on the wings of the wind, No innocence is strong enough to intimidate me. No purity is pure enough to daunt me. I have no regard for the truth. I have no respect for justice, no mercy for the defenseless. My victims are as numerous as the sands of the sea and often as innocent. I never forget and seldom forgive, and my name is gossip. My name is gossip. I was wondering what the Bible says about the tongue in general, and I put together just a paragraph that actually is kind of tedious to listen to, but you need to hear it, and so do I, about what the Bible says about your tongue and my tongue. The Bible refers directly or indirectly to a wicked tongue, a deceitful tongue, a lying tongue, a perverse tongue, a filthy tongue, a corrupt tongue, a bitter tongue, an angry tongue, a crafty tongue, a flattering tongue, a slanderous tongue, a gossiping tongue, a backbiting tongue, a blaspheming tongue, a foolish tongue, a boasting tongue, a murmuring tongue, a complaining tongue, a cursing tongue, a contentious tongue, a sensual tongue, a vile tongue, a tale-bearing tongue, a whispering tongue, an exaggerating tongue. And it goes on from there. You say, what's your point? The point is it demonstrates how the Lord looks at the way we speak. And the scripture that was on the screen at the very end said, by your words, Jesus said, you will be condemned, or by your words, you will be acquitted. Whenever I hear somebody say words aren't important, somebody needs to tell Jesus that. Somebody needs to straighten him out. Somebody needs to correct Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, that he is wrong in his assumption that words have power, because they do, and we will be judged or condemned by our words. Did you know Jewish people in biblical times believed that every word had a life of its own? And every time you uttered a word, you created something? That's pretty dramatic. We don't look at our words like that. That every time you speak, you create something. It's almost a creative act, as God would do in creation. That may be over exaggeration, but there's some interesting observations in that. That we create power, and we create the capability to bless people, and we create the capability to discourage people. Would you consider your words something that discourages people or blesses people? It was said of Job in the Old Testament. One of the greatest comments about speech is this. It was said of Job in the Old Testament that his words kept men on their feet. Think about that for a minute. Words kept men on their feet. Do your words keep anybody on their feet? Think back. This is painful. This was painful in the first service for some people, and some people told me it was. But were you ever so devastated by something somebody said to you, maybe a parent, a brother or sister, a friend, a neighbor, that you were depressed about it for 2 or 3 days? Sure. Some of you for a lot longer. Did you ever have something said to you that it literally ruined your day? And a man told me that it impacted his work because of the comment, some critical comment that somebody said to him in a work situation that really bothered him for weeks because of a negative comment. Maybe it was true, maybe it wasn't, but though I know those words have power.
Well, tomorrow I want to tell you a story by Jack Hayford from Van Nuys, California that will powerfully speak to words.
We have a choice. We can curse people or bless them. I want to give you a powerful story told by one of my favorite preachers, Jack Hayford from Van Nuys, California. Jack Hayford said he was speaking in Seattle, Washington. He was surprised when he got off the plane. Usually when churches send people to pick him up, there's usually an elderly couple or an elderly gentleman, someone of mature in stature that will come to pick him up so that and take him to the church or the hotel, whatever the case may be. But this particular church sent a 19-year-old boy, to a young man, to pick him up. And Jack was a little surprised at that because it never happened before. They got in the car. They were driving from the airport to the church or to the hotel, wherever he was to stay. And Jack Hayford said that a car started coming down the road toward them. He said it was obvious the man was driving under the influence of alcohol or drugs or both and was swerving both sides, just, you know, literally going from one side to the other. And Jack said instinctively, he said out loud, he put his hands up and said, look at that idiot. Look at that crazy idiot, what he's doing. He's going to kill somebody. He's going to kill us all. And Jack Hayford was surprised that 19-year-old boy sitting next to him with his left hand on the wheel put his right hand out and said, God bless that man. God protect that man. Keep him from hurting himself. Keep him from hurting us and keep him from hurting anyone else. And Jack Hayford said he looked out of the corner of his eye at this 19-year-old and he was humiliated because the intuitive reaction of Jack Hayford in his own admission was Christian expletives. You know, what a loser, what an idiot, what a drunk. And here this 19-year-old boy had the maturity to say, God, would you protect him? God, would you put a hedge around that man to protect him from himself and protect him from hurting other people? Here's the question I would ask you. Which person describes you or me? I'll be the first to admit I'm the guy saying, what an idiot. I don't know about you, but that's my response. And has been my response to those types of situations. And if you're honest, that's been your response. Your words have power. Power to affirm and power to destroy. Your words have tremendous power. Every woman and man in this room blesses and curses. Some of you cursed somebody yesterday. Some of you cursed somebody this morning. You say, what do you mean by that? Do you mean to use profanity? No, you don't have to use profanity to curse somebody. You don't have to use four-letter expletives to curse somebody. Just use some of the terms you saw on the screen. You loser. Well, you know what she is. She is so stupid. And we use those words where we place, in a figurative sense, not in some magical sense, but in a figurative sense, we place curses upon people. I don't mean that there's some power, magical power, attributed to your words. But I do believe there's still power. It may not be magical, but there's power. I just read this week, that the average man or woman speaks 28,000 to 30,000 words a day. Now, some of you speak more than that, and men or women. Some of you speak a lot more than 28,000 to 30,000. There are men and women who speak a lot less than that. One author said that the average woman who's home with a group of children probably saves her 30,000 words till her husband gets home. He's already spoken his 30,000 words. He's done. And she just wants to start talking her 30,000, and there's conflict because he's already spoken his 30,000, and he's ready to relax. And so there can be conflict over the words, but here's my point or question I want to ask you. If you speak 28,000 words of power.
Well, that's an amazing thought about the number of words we speak. What does that reflect in terms of what you said yesterday? What you said the day before yesterday? What you're going to say today? Let's continue this message tomorrow on Cross Hope.
I mentioned this earlier, but some of you have made decisions about people, whether to leave them in your life or not, just by something they said. That's amazing to me. I will no longer speak to him again because of something he said to me. I will not have anything to do with her because of something she said to me. Jeff Cheadle is a Presbyterian minister. I want you to listen to a story that he tells out of his own life that is so painful. He said, one evening years ago, I was talking to my sister on the telephone. We were both grown up. She had been upset about a number of things, as we all are from time to time, and she wanted to visit. During the course of our conversation, my sister shared with me something that haunted her for years. I never knew about this. She said, Jeff, I'm going to tell you something that I've never told Mom and Dad. If one of my sisters said, I'm going to tell you something on the phone right now that I've never told Mom and Dad, it would get my attention. Believe me, I'd be hanging on every word to hear that. And that's what his sister said. Here's what he continues. My sister told me that less than 30 minutes before our brother Mark had been killed while riding his bike, the two of them have gotten into an argument about something. As brothers and sisters do, my sister said some things to him that she really didn't mean. But one of the things that my sister said to our brother Mark was this, Mark, I wish you were dead. 30 minutes later, he was. 30 minutes later, he was dead. My sister never had the chance to take it back. What a chilling effect those words had on my sister's life for years after, an effect not visible to others, but which shaped her self-understanding for years to come. While she outgrew the childish, magical notion that she had somehow caused our brother's death by wishing it, she had yet to recover from the emotional fallout of the guilt, the shame, the self-condemnation which brew out of having said something too thoughtlessly, too hastily. Then Jeff Cheadle said this, "We can't take back our words. Like an arrow loosed from a bow, once released, our words do what they will do, and they cannot be returned to us." Perhaps that's why the Holy Spirit put in the book of Proverbs, "Those who guard their mouths preserve their lives. Those who open wide their lips come to ruin." If we must speak, better that our words be generous and kind, better that we opt for a consecrated spontaneity that builds rather than an angry, reckless impetuosity that injures and scars. The good news is that many things that we can say which help others, which heal them, which build them, which contribute to the health of our relationship, things like, "I love you," "forgive me," "thank you," "I'm sorry," "it's all right." If you don't think words are important to people, somebody needs to tell Jeff Cheadle's sister that. Words don't mean anything. They mean everything to her. Now, I realize that's a dramatic story, and I agree that's the exception to the rule. But let me tell you this. You and I both have said things pretty similar to that to people. You may have said it this week. You may have said it to somebody in the last 48 hours. I don't know. We've all said hurtful things, and my point is this, instead of always wondering what you could take back, if you could go back in time, plan ahead and say, "With God as my witness and with God as my judge and with God as my help and my comforter, I'm going to do my best not to say those things in advance, that I'm going to bless people, not curse people. I'm going to lift people up, not curse people."
Well, admittedly, that's a strong story, but perhaps it speaks to your life and to your heart and about your words and my words. We'll conclude this message tomorrow on Cross Hope on Sirius XM 131.
When you leave today, you're going to get a little business card that has a verse on it. I want to bring these verses up first in the NIV if we can. Two verses from 1 Peter. "Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing. Because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing." You were called by God to be a blessing. The next verse. "For whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech." Now, as I sometimes do, I want you to read these same verses from the Message translation, which is a paraphrase. Let's bring it up in the Message. That goes for all of you. No exceptions. No retaliation. No sharp-tongued sarcasm. Instead, bless. That's your job. I love that. Bless. That's your job, to bless. You'll be a blessing and also get a blessing. And here's what you're going to get to take home with you. Whoever wants to embrace life and see the day fill up with good, here's what you do. Say nothing evil or hurtful. What would happen if you and I actually applied this last verse that's on the screen, that you determined to say nothing evil or hurtful? You say, well, not a whole lot. Yeah, there would be a lot. Think of the damage that you could prevent today by saying, I will not say something that's evil or hurtful. I'm going to change my speech because speech is my life. My tongue is my life. It reflects what's inside me. It has tremendous power. One of the things that needs to come off is a chain that maybe has bound a man or woman here in terms of the way you talk. Folks, it's a form of bondage to always talk with a filthy mouth. That's a form of bondage. It's nothing to brag about. I've heard men brag about their speech. I've heard women talk about the rough way they talk, and they brag about it as if it's something neat. It's a form of slavery. It's a form of bondage. And it needs the releasing power of the gospel of Jesus Christ to free a man or a woman from the bondage of the words we use. John MacArthur's right. My tongue is my life. It represents everything about me. Decide today that you are no longer going to be a slave to your old words. You're going to be a slave to your new words. Words that are defined by these words. I believe. with all my heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. I wasn't planning on doing this, but I did, and I didn't do it in the first service. But let's do it together right now. Repeat after me. I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and my Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this message today about our words, because words have the power to destroy and they have the power to build up. I know we've got wounded people in this service right now that have been wounded, deeply wounded, by the words of a father or mother. And it still haunts them 20 and 30 and 40 years later. And I know that people have been wounded by our words. Let's not forget that. We have wounded other people and we have forgotten that. We are strangely blinded to that. Open our eyes so we can see the hurt that we have caused. That may be a holy moment for somebody today for you, Lord, to just reveal in the mind of a man or woman today the hurt that they've caused by their words. As one man told me going out of first service, I've got some work to do, Randy, this week. I knew exactly what he meant. I've got some work to do this week. We all do.
Well, next week on Cross Hope, we'll continue with another message from the book of James about wisdom, godly wisdom in your life and mine. God bless you.
You have been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information or to listen to or download a copy of today's message, go to crosshope.org. That web address again is www.crosshope.org. Be sure to tune in each weekday at this same time to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. This program has been a production of Cross Hope Ministries.